Okay, so now we are recording. I will introduce myself again. My name is Doris Smith. I'm the administrator of DFA Intergovernmental Services. Our office will be or is handling the Pregnancy Resource Center grant fund, which we will be discussing in today's workshop. I'd like to open up the meeting by giving each of you an opportunity to introduce yourself and what organization you represent.
Well, I'll begin. My name is Sharice Dean. I'm executive director of Our Future Foundation. We are a nonprofit organization that works to help fund and provide resources for pregnancy help organizations in Arkansas. I just wanted to be here so I could see how this process goes and be of assistance later on if needed.
Okay.
I'll go next.
Go ahead.
Okay, I will. I'm Janet Dixon, and I'm at New Beginnings Pregnancy Center in Benton. And I have my intern, Haley, sitting here. She's from John Brown University.
Okay.
Nancy Dignan, and I'm director at Open Arms Pregnancy Center in Huntsville, Arkansas. And Christy will be sitting next to me. She just answered the phone. But we're glad to be here. Thank you.
Okay, I'll go next. My name is Candace Irving. I am the director of Heart to Heart Pregnancy and Family Care Center in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And I have with me our development director, Bryn Tucker.
Okay. Welcome all. Is there anyone else that I'm
there? I'm Sarah Teed, and I am with Pregnancy Resource Center for Southwest Arkansas in Arkadelphia, Arkansas.
So in today's meeting, it'll be in two parts. The first part is just a brief PowerPoint to kind of talk through the setup of the grant itself, and then to discuss any questions you have following the PowerPoint. And then I'd like to just kind of walk through the application form as it is online and answer any questions you have there. So it's a brief PowerPoint, so you can hold your questions until we go through it right quick, and then we'll stop at the end and just answer questions regarding this PowerPoint, you know, the questions you have. So today's meeting, of course, is the application workshop for the Pregnancy Resource Center grant. And I'm going to start the slideshow version of this. I have to switch screen, guys, so be patient with me for a minute. I got two screens, and now I got to switch to the other screen. Okay, now you should be able to see this in slideshow format, okay? And if at any time you can't see what I'm demonstrating or can't hear me very well, please let me know immediately, okay? So again, this is the Pregnancy Resource Center application workshop. A quick summary of the program. This is 100% state funded. It is a program that was established on the Act 187 of 2022. In that act, the program sets forth $1 million in funding. That $1 million in appropriation does expire on June 30th of next year. And any unused monies will return to the state general fund. So the money does not continue beyond June of next year. Only eligible organizations are considered for funding. And the goal of the whole program, all of our discussions here, the central focus of this program is to encourage females facing unwanted pregnancy to give birth. And that is how it is written into the legislation. So the eligible organizations, and let's delve into that a little bit. Per the requirement of the Act, organizations existing as of January 1 of 2022 are the ones that would be considered within the reach of being eligible. New organizations that began after January 1 would not be eligible. And those organizations include crisis pregnancy organizations, maternity homes, adoption agencies, and social service agencies. And don't be alarmed if you don't see your particular agency represented here. You still submit an application. The goal here would be to discuss what umbrella the organization exists under, but also to just specify that it has the organization that was already existing as of January 1. So ineligible organizations would be organizations that perform, prescribe, provide referral for, or encourage abortion. Those would not be eligible. Organizations that are affiliated with abortion providers are not eligible. And again, new organizations that started after January 1 are not eligible. PFA's role. So I want to be very clear about what our role is in administering these funds. The Pregnancy Resource Grant is administered by DFA Intergovernmental Services. DFA's role includes the promulgation of rules to govern the disbursement of funds. And that promulgation requires that we include a requirement for a spending plan from any organization that receives funding under this grant has to have a spending plan that they propose and that we approve, and then spending has to occur in accordance with that plan. DFA role also includes the creation of a grant program to administer the funds for eligible entities. The promulgated rules is focused on the disbursement of funds, and then the creation of the grant program is the process of administering those funds. And of course, our role includes disbursing monies directly to the approved entity. Okay. Can you all see this slide okay, or do I need to make it bigger?
We see it perfect.
Very good.
But here, the volume is just a little bit kind of muffled. It's hard to hear. Yeah.
Okay, I'll turn off my background noise. Is that better? Is that a little better on the volume?
I think so. But yeah, yes. It's a little clearer.
Okay. So the application, this is what we'll discuss as we go through the application online. But just to give you an overview of how the application was structured, we wanted to make it simple. So we did a simplified process for the application. It's designed to be very simple. This is a 9-month project. So it's not very long. 9-month project because of the timing of it all and, you know, the promulgation and the time that we're able to put this out on the street for application. It'll ultimately end up being a 9-month project that runs from October this year to June of next year. The application, when organizations apply for funding, and I'll keep saying this because I do want this to be the focal point of our discussion, focus only on those proposed activities that need financial support. And I'll go a little deeper with that now, and then we'll get a little bit deeper into it as we go through the application itself. This application does not encompass and does not pretend to encompass everything that your organization may do as a whole. But the role of the application, the role of the program is to assist organizations who want financial support to provide definite, specific services to females who are facing unwanted pregnancy. So to that end, application should include only those proposed activities needing financial support for that purpose. So I want you to just specify that, and we'll talk a little more about that in a few minutes. Organizations are not prohibited from religious activities at all. This does not preclude or impact religious activities, but should not apply to fund inherently religious activities. Remember, the goal of the program is to directly support women who are facing, or females who are facing, unwanted pregnancies. So we're not seeking applications to fund inherently religious activities, but it does not preclude an organization from conducting religious activities as they see fit. The focus, again, of the application is to fund tangible costs related to serving pregnant females. So that's a simplified process that we were targeting for this application process. The spending plan. The spending plan is actually the budget that you're going to present with your application. And the application, again, should focus only on those support activities that will incur a cost. For example, supplies, advertising, counseling, professional services contract, if you have staff that are going to be dedicated to this project, then you'll present those itemized cost activities in the budget part of the application form. And then our disbursement process, organizations that are approved for funding will receive advance payment in accordance with the schedule on page 3 of the application form. So we listed out the date on which the payments will be issued. And since the project is for 9 months, funds will be disbursed in 3 payments. So we'll pretty much equal payments over the 9 month period. You'll get 3 payments that encompass the whole amount of the entire grant award. Okay. Reports and other information. Of course, any approved organization that receives a grant under the program will be required to provide expense reports. Our periodic expense reports are due by the date set forth on page 4 of the application form, and we'll go through that. Expense reports must be submitted timely, along with documentation to substantiate what monies were spent. Unused monies must be returned within 30 days after the expiration of the grant, because the course organization will be getting advances. If you happen to have some unspent monies by June 30th, then those monies will need to be returned to DFA. Unauthorized use. Any funds not spent in accordance with the organization's approved spending plan, that's your budget, any funds that is not spent in accordance with your budget must be returned to DFA within 30 days of notification. So as we get in documentation and expense reports, we'll look at those, compare it to what the budget was, to ensure that all monies were spent in accordance with the budget. Application deadline is very key. The deadline is August 26th. This will allow for DFA
Marsha.
Do I need to pause for a minute?
Yeah,
she found them on books. I want to introduce you to the new nurse.
Okay, I think
that's her.
Oh, you did?
When she was here volunteering. Let me ask you guys, if you get to answer the question, then unmute your microphone. But if you all would please just mute your microphones for just a few minutes, so that when we get to the question and answer part, then please unmute at that time. So I just want to make sure that we have the discussion, and then we open up for a question and answer. So under the application deadline again is August 26th. This allows us sufficient time to evaluate and approve the application we receive for the projects that are requested and to issue the grant awards. Very brief PowerPoint. Now we'll open it up for questions, and then next up we'll walk through the application form. So at this time, if you all want to unmute your microphone, and we'll kind of go through some questions, and we'll go from there.
Oh,
Hi there. This is Rep. Cindy Crawford. How are you, Doris?
Hi, Rep. Cindy Crawford. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I just picked up a couple of things that I just want clarification on for the centers. excuse me. I may have to mute. Hang on. Okay. One was, in accordance to the budget, I just want to make sure they understand that is not the center budget. It's the budget that they send to you with the application on what they can spend money on. Correct?
Correct. And I'm so glad you brought it out. It goes back to what I was stating in our simplified process in the application overview screen. And these will all be posted online, as a matter of fact, along with the recording of this meeting. Be very clear as you submit applications, as you talk to others and explain to them. I think, Carice, you mentioned that you were gathering information that you will be passing forward to some other organizations. Please make it very clear to them. This application is not for their entire organization and everything they do under the umbrella of the organization. It is only for what they are seeking in funding to serve pregnant females. So it should be confined only to those activities for that specific proposed purpose.
Well, it does. But what I'm saying, excuse me, is that if they submit a line item budget of what they're requesting, everything they do has to do with pregnant females, everything. So what I'm saying is trying to split it here so that everyone understands that the budget you send with your application that you're asking for those line items are the only things you can spend your money on. You cannot go outside of something you did not send to you guys, even though it may be in your center budget to take care of pregnant women. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I'm glad you brought it back to that a little closer to what your specific question.
Okay.
So that specific answer is absolutely correct. So not only are you submitting only for what you're going to provide, you can only claim expenses to be paid for what your approved budget is. You cannot spend outside of your approved budget, or that would be considered an unauthorized use of funding.
Yes, okay. And that's my concern because I haven't met all you ladies, but in my past life, I was a center director. So I'm very concerned that everybody knows what they're doing when they write these grants. And if you have questions, like I said, I was a grant writer, I was a center director. I'll be glad to help answer. I will not write your grant for you, but I don't want you to get in trouble. Okay, here's my next one. You said that it cannot be used for any inherently religious activities. Now, I went to BLR and I asked them what the state statute was on proselyting. And they said, as far as the state goes, there is nothing. So I'm a little confused about that statement being in the grant application instruction. Can you help me with that?
Okay, the statement is there on two, there's two basic elements that I think make that statement relevant. So in the administration of the grant program, which we are charged with doing, we want to make sure that we administer it in accordance with a structure that leans toward funding support, whether activities are, you know, not considering whether activities are have some religious nexus or not. The best way to do that would be to identify those elements of cost. Because number one, you're going to identify specific costs that are going to be charged to this grant. Those specific costs are actual line items. Those are budget line items that you're going to have in your budget, whether that is rent, whether that is counseling, whether it is supplies or materials. So in and of itself, your application is not going to have such a religious nexus that you would that we were actually funding a religious activity in and of itself. Separate from that, we have construed this and constructed it based on a framework that is supported, you know, through federal grants also, because it's just an easier structure.
It's not federal, though.
I'm sorry.
I'm mumbling. I said, but it's not federal. None of this is federal money. It's all state money. And the state does not have a law against this. So there again, I want to make sure the pregnancy centers don't get in trouble with this. So since I've been on the inside, let me explain a scenario and you answer my question, please. All right, they pulled down these funds. Maybe they buy baby clothes or diapers with it. And while they're handing out the baby clothes or diapers, they talk about Jesus in that scenario. And if that gets back to the state, what are you going to do with that?
What they have applied for under the grant will likely be the purchase of, you know, the clothing and the items. What the grant is not charged for is the sharing of the faith. So again, we don't have a real nexus with the religious activity in and of itself, because the participation in the grant program is essentially that. It's for those elements of cost, the tangible elements of cost that the grant is offering.
Okay, so it's just for the items. So let me ask you this question, and I'll shut up after this. I'll quit. I'm so concerned. I spoke for this. I'm for the centers. I'm for the grant, but I don't want anybody to get in trouble. Okay, so if they pull down money for a staff person, and that staff person's salary is paid through this grant for 10 months, are they allowed to do what they would normally do as they work for the center, which some will share the gospel as they talk to their clients? Then would that be something that they would have to change if they pull this money down and their salary is paid by that?
The appropriate way to handle that is to just split it. And we responded accordingly to the question that was asked that was very similar to that. Let's say you have a staff person who does a 30-minute, I'll just loosely call it, counseling session with clients. And so for a client, you know, if they have a counseling session, and that counseling session will include some activities that they discuss about, you know, giving birth to your child. And then there are elements of the counseling that has more of a religious nature to it. Then the most likely role is that if that is the staff person of that organization, then the organization will be best served to just charge a request from the grant that portion of the staff person's salary where they are serving the strict purpose of just encouraging a female toward giving birth. Because the grant in and of itself, the way it's written, even though the state doesn't have a law that or something specific that governs whether religious activity is conducted using state dollars, the grant itself is only purposed toward serving females with the plan of encouraging them toward giving birth. That doesn't specifically include sharing your faith, nor does it include sharing your faith. It's just basically, you know, not a element of the grant program that is designed under the Act. And so with to that end, to be true to the nature of the program itself, what we have responded with and what I stick to is that just split it. If you have a staff person who is 100% paid or 100, well, for whatever hours they work for the organization, let's say their salary is $10,000, and then 20% of their time is spent, you know, with on religious-based activity, then just charge 80% of their, or request 80% of their salary to do the things that are strictly aimed at helping a female who are giving birth to a child. That's the easiest and cleanest approach to where there won't be any, you know, you don't have to delve into all of the nuances or what exactly was done. It just shows a recognition that a staff person has some other duties that exist outside of the grant. similar to what you were saying about the budget itself. You can have other expenses, you just can't charge them to the grant. So you can have other activities, they just don't get charged to the grant.
Okay, thank you. I'm signing off. Thank you.
I have a question, if it's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you have a, for example, an executive director who is on salary, and they are responsible for, you know, fundraising, for administrative work that just keeps the center open. They also do counseling. They also train volunteers. What of those responsibilities would be considered appropriate to ask for funding for under this grant?
Only those activities that have a nexus with that individual female, your female clients. So out of those things that you named, fundraising would not be one of them. Administrative duties would not be one of them. Counseling, yes. The counseling portion has to do with serving, you know, pregnant females, because if there's other types of counseling where you counsel people on other things, remember the focus of this grant is on females, serving the females who are pregnant. And then training volunteers, if those volunteers are dedicated to supporting and helping pregnant females, then yes, but if those volunteers do other things like volunteer to you know, clean the yard or whatever, then no. So again, truly think through, and you can brainstorm, you can write out some things and kind of, you know, follow that line of where does it cross into the path of serving the pregnant female. Anything that falls into the column of serving pregnant females fit within the confines of the grant. Things that you do for your organization as a whole, which of course those things are all needful, necessary, and have to be done, but if they're not strictly focused on serving pregnant females, then those are not going to be direct services that you want to present in an application.
So parenting class coordinators' salary would fall within the parameters of this grant.
Correct. Those services are for that the female who have not given birth yet, because remember the focus is on pregnant females. And so, yes, teaching them parenting classes would fall within the structure of this program.
Okay, so something you just said there made me concerned that after a baby is born, if the mother is coming in for baby supplies and for classes to help her learn how to breastfeed or learn how to care for a newborn baby, those would not qualify because she's not pregnant anymore?
Essentially, no, because the way the act reads is that it is for those organizations, this funding specifically, this now, it doesn't harm your organization from providing it, but for this grant, it's for organizations that seeks to provide a range of services to feed to individuals facing unintended pregnancy, with the intention of encouraging pregnant women to give birth to their unborn children. So within those strict confines, because there's nothing in here that goes beyond the pregnancy phase. You get what I'm saying? You're trying to gather and encourage pregnant females to give birth. Yes, there are very needful services for females once they have given birth, but within the strict, constraints of this grant program, it's focused on the female while the pregnant female.
Okay, and along those same lines, how about housing and utility and food support for pregnant mothers that are clients? Would that be allowed under the grant?
You can propose it, but food probably not, because food is one of those elements that, you know, grant program is really hard to just track. And so you can propose the housing and utility part, and definitely, you know, if the service to the female who is not giving birth, to the pregnant female. So here's kind of what be my concern on that. You know, it's not, you're not prevented from proposing housing and utilities for, you know, a pregnant female. The concern is your client base is confidential. You don't want to do anything that put you in a predicament to have to disclose any type of client information. Anything that you have a budget for that is funded under the grant, we would need proof, you know, that substantiate those costs that are being charged to the grant. To that end, I'm not sure how you accomplish that much substantiation of the cost without giving up some information that we don't need to be giving up. I would encourage organizations to try to apply for things that are easily supportable under the grant, that are easily defined under the grant, and that are easily substantiated through the documentation you can provide while keeping your client's information confidential. So, you know, it's like a little tightrope. They're going to find some gray areas, no doubt. I'm not saying that you can't apply to support housing and utility calls for pregnant females. How would you propose substantiating that the housing and utilities was restricted specifically to pregnant females?
Well, I think all that we could do would be to submit a receipt or an invoice that and show payment of that to whatever, you know, landlord or whatever entity they were renting from. I don't think, you know, there's any way to, but I mean, again, there's no way when we say we're using these funds for client counseling for people in crisis pregnancy centers. I mean, how are we going to prove that we actually use that money to meet with pregnant clients? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think this isn't just a problem that would apply to housing and utilities. Plus, our center just acquired an ultrasound machine, which is a very critical thing to offer women in crisis pregnancy situations, because if they see a heartbeat, that is the single most impactful thing on influencing them to choose life. But we have to do what's called a conversion from just a regular pregnancy center to a medical pregnancy center. And that, for that, we have to meet all kinds of medical regulations. Can we use any of these funds for the expenses associated with converting to a medical center so that we can offer ultrasounds in our facility to crisis pregnancy clients?
The program would not be conducive to meeting, I'm just going to loosely say, some kind of certification process whereby you meet the medical requirements. And I get that it's for the, you know, ultimately for the benefit of the pregnant female, but it is primarily for the benefit of first meeting that requirement, the expense that is incurred for meeting that requirement. Your questions are good. You can put that in an application, and then what we evaluate and we look at is the assessment of, you know, how the request that is made, how it is impactful for the female, and to not that we overlay what your proposed application is, but to consider from a grant programming standpoint, is it something that is can be reasonably substantiated? Things like counseling, you know, the facility itself, but that can be reasonably substantiated. Housing utility is external, you know, to your organization, because you're paying a landlord and you're paying a utility bill. So that is a little bit more problematic in and of the construct of itself. Let me ask this, and this is a little bit maybe outside the question that you asked, but when you're talking about other sources of need, other sources of need. Your organization likely probably provide referrals to other types of programs that can assist females also, like, you know, TANF or rental assistance type programs and programs to help with utility bills.
Yes, we definitely have outside resources that we refer our clients to, but sometimes we get this perfect storm where we have a client that's kind of in an emergency situation that doesn't qualify for a period of time for that outside help. And so, you know, we're trying to keep them off the streets, essentially. So we're trying to find housing for them on a very urgent basis. And you're basically saying you do not want any of these grant funds used for that because you really don't feel like there's an adequate way to protect the confidentiality of the client and adequately report on the use of the grant funds.
Right, essentially. What germinates directly from your organization would fit within the program? Because remember, the program is to help the organization to provide services. But where you're going with that is a little bit outside of the strict understanding of the program, because you're extending that support to the individual, but it's technically being the third parties. You get what I'm saying? The third parties involved as providers instead of the organization itself. And so you want to kind of really look at it from that context, that what is my organization able to provide to support these females? And if in providing those services, you release some of your own, you know, budget that you had, you know, dedicated to this purpose, you get to release some of that to help with some of the things that you're discussing. That may be a good approach also. But as for the program itself, just so you don't incur, you know, an in-depth review beyond what we would normally want to see or want to do with an organization to substantiate any costs that are spent, I would say try to restrict it definitively to services that you provide as an organization.
Okay, so when you say, and I don't want to continue to delay this, but just one last thing. So based on what you just said, is it acceptable to use grant funds to purchase car seats, strollers, pack and plays, diapers, formula that we provide to pregnant clients that they're going to need once the baby's born? Is that acceptable use of the funds?
Yes, as long as you're certified that those are provided to the pregnant female.
Okay. Once the baby's born, though, we're not allowed to use grant funds to provide that equipment.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
So let me ask a question. So you buy the equipment before they're born. Is that what you say?
The way she described it, that then, and you most certainly have to put it in the application that way. You know, you're going to, let's say that would fit, as we talk through the application a little bit, that would likely be in the other category. So in the other category, you're explaining everything that you put in your budget as a proposed cost. So let's say that you have a proposed cost of $5,000 to purchase supplies and materials to give to the pregnant mother in her 8 month of pregnancy. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not trying to, you know, impose, but just to say that you propose to, your proposal is to provide this to the pregnant female prior to the birth of the child, you know, within an 8 month of pregnancy to ensure that she has a starter package for when she gives birth to the child. There's nothing preventing that. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would like for it to be a little bit, you know, simpler than that, so that we don't have to get, you know, we don't have to get in that, you know, area where we have to.
I have some questions on rent. We are a facility that we house them within the facility. We have cottages, so to speak, that are, we have it gated and all that stuff. And they stay with us when they're pregnant. A lot of them all the way through the pregnancy and then 4 months after the baby's born. When we take them as a client, we also get confidentiality statements signed. So I think and I may be wrong, but you said if the organization is providing the service, we provide the housing and the utilities and everything's included in that, we have a charge per unit and we always try to find sponsors or someone to pay for that unit, and we're nonprofit. I think in the way you're explaining it, we could go ahead and use it for the rent because there's not a third party involved. And we also get confidentiality statements signed on the front end that the client knows, you know, whom we're going to be releasing information to. We are in essence feeding and housing that client on site. So could I use that for the rent?
What occurs when the client gives birth?
Pardon me?
What occurs when the client gives birth? Are they removed?
No, they do not have to move. They continue to, we're a transitional shelter. So in essence, they stay with us and we continue to give them services. And I can see where you would say you can't pay their rent after they have the baby. But we get some that are come in and they're a month or two pregnant. And, you know, we provide all the services.
Well, as long as the services are provided through your organization directly to the client during the time of pregnancy, you want to present that clearly in the application. You want to talk through how you're going to be able to certify that these services are to the pregnant female in your application.
So we could do the rent because, you know, in rent, there's going to be insurance, utilities, all that factored into it, but it is one cost. And we don't collect it. We try to get other organizations to pay, you know, to donate money or sponsor a cottage or whatever so we can pay their rent. So we can pay our bills basically. So we could use it to support a cottage until they have the baby.
Right. You can put in your application. Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions before we step into the actual form itself?
Well, so now if you have someone, let's just say they're in a counseling group, women's group counseling, and they're pregnant and then they have the baby and there may be eight other women in that class and you've been funding that class. Let's just say if someone has their baby that, and they're still, let's just say they're still going to the parenting classes. I mean, so I have one pregnant mom in my group and I'm being paid for it. When she has her baby, then I can't be paid. You can't pay that instructor at that point, right?
As long as the instructor, the class includes pregnant females, not everyone has to be, you know, pregnant as it goes along.
Okay. So you don't have to have everyone pregnant. Okay.
Correct. As long as the program itself, because you're not going to be able to have a separate class for each and every person. So you want to be able to say the class that includes, and it's all in how you describe it in your application. So if you have functional class that you conduct.
So important.
Then that's the focal point of the application. It doesn't come into question whether other people are in the class, but if the class is focused toward assisting pregnant females, that's the part that you're seeking coverage for. So as long as it benefits pregnant females, then you're clear to put it in your application.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have one more clarification right quick. So if you put in your application that you want to spend, say your total grant fund is $5,000 that you're going to get from the state, and you say, I'm going to spend $2,500 of this on client needs, pregnant client needs, and I'm going to spend $2,500 of this on counseling, and you end up and need to spend more on client needs, can you do that, or are you locked in to spending it exactly how you put in your application?
You are locked in to spending it exactly like you put it in the application. The application is yours to devise. We get the applicant to consider the request that has been made. And once we approve the application and the spending plan. That is your budget, and you are restricted to that budget.
So you cannot do an addendum?
No, you cannot do an addendum or modification of any type.
When will we know how much we're going to get, or do we just propose how much we need?
You propose what you need, and in the application form itself, which we'll go through in a minute, you propose what you need. I mean, of course, you always propose what you're applying for, and you have to explain the uses and program, you know, that how it serves the pregnant female. And the total that we recommend that you not go over $40,000 as a proposal, because it's very limited funding. We don't know yet about how many applications we're going to get, but we also do know that application of $40,000 would be able to allow us to extend at least like 25 or so programs, a fund of 25 or so programs with these monies to spread it out and to allow everybody to have an opportunity to participate, hopefully. So to that end, you are the one who is in control of how much you request and what you request it for. And you want to give careful consideration to what you're requesting, because whatever your budget is approved for, that is how you would have to use it.
Okay. And you can't use any of this money to like finish out a garage that you need as an extra counseling room.
No, not for that purpose, no.
Okay.
Can I ask a question about administrative costs? We have a kind of an executive director, house mom, so to speak, that does a lot of activities. If she's specifically working with a pregnant mother, let's say for an hour a day, would her services be billable?
The services identified that are provided directly to the pregnant mom, which you would be the one to have to certify that, those would be something that you could request in the application. Going back to what I stated before, you can split the salary cost between, if you know that, you know, 15-20% of her time is going to be spent directly helping moms, or 10 hours, if you don't have to be a percent, be 10 hours, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, or, you know, be that specific about how you expect that salary to be spent, or her time to be spent serving pregnant moms. And then that is something you could propose in the application.
Okay, and what if she's transporting the pregnant mother? Could we do her mileage? Like, she takes them to the doctor appointments, to their Medicaid appointments. They don't have transportation.
Yes, that is something that you could propose in your application.
Mileage. Okay.
How would you possibly know, though, in advance how much you're going to need over the course of 9 months for mileage or transporting to doctor appointments or whatever? I mean, I guess I'm just having trouble wrapping my mind around being exact on things that are hard to predict. I mean, we don't know how many clients are going to walk in our, you know, door.
No, we don't either.
Right. So if it's a little harder to predict, then my best recommendation would be to organization that exists already, and you have services that you provide already, whether that is transportation or, you know, whatever those services are. If you find an element of cost a little hard to predict, and you don't want to tie down budget that specific element of cost without knowing ahead of time pretty much what it's going to be for the whole term of the grant, then utilize the grant for some costs that you can define a little clearer. And whatever money that release up in your budget, use that money toward the costs that are a little bit more difficult to tie down, like the mileage. I think that's a great question, but that's the approach that I would recommend. Because there are going to be some things that you're not going to know upfront the exact amount of what it's going to cost. My suggestion would be to try to use the grant funds for costs that can tie down. And then use your other funding or the budget that it frees up for the calls that are a little bit harder to just get exact.
Could I ask a question?
Yes. Hello?
Hello, can I ask a question?
Yes, can you hear me back?
Yes, I can now. Okay. Could could some of these funds be used towards a stork bus or something of that nature to provide ultrasounds to women off-site?
I don't really understand enough about that. Now, you can propose it in your application and we can give it consideration. I'm not sure that I understand your question. I don't know what a stork bus is.
It's a mobile ultrasound unit. It's an RV with an ultrasound on it that can travel around to where the girls are instead of them having to come to us.
And you do this already, you say?
No, we do not. I was asking if we could use some of those funds toward a bus to be able to do that.
You can propose that in your application and describe how you feel that would help or encourage the pregnant female toward giving birth. That's the concept of it. It's not so much a conversation about, you know, whether the parts that are unallowable, I think we've covered, but the parts that are you're trying to present as, you know, these are some things that I want to fund, you're not prevented from requesting it and being able to, the ability to be able to describe how it support the pregnant female and encourage her to give birth is the part you want to focus on. So I can't give you a definitive answer of just yes, that will be approved. I am saying that yes, that is something that you can propose.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a question. And I think you sort of answered it, but what if we proposed more than $40,000 in our budget because we are anticipating some of the things may get knocked out or whatever? Or should we be so informed before we propose it that we only propose $40,000?
Only propose what's needed. I understand that approach for other programs that have more money in it. I would say go for it, but this isn't one of them. I think that here you want to have that key element in mind of let's really take a look at what we are going to do for pregnant females. How are we going to serve them and toward what end? And so I'm in a discussion that we will have in the application form, if you haven't gone through it yet, might answer some of those questions. And so because you want to have a way to measure what you've done. Like you want to be able to look at your program at the end of it and say, these are some things that were accomplished. So the wrong thing would be to put in a bunch of stuff in an application that you don't anticipate getting funding just to see where it hits. That I wouldn't take that approach. Not with this type of funding, no.
Okay. And then another question was like our Bright course, which definitely I think would be a qualifying. It's our parenting classes that we purchase subscription for. We pay for it. We at New Beginnings pay for it in January for the entire year. So is it okay for me to apply for that money for the entire year or only during the grant period? I'm going to pay for it during the grant period.
Yeah. Key, because what you described is kind of hit two ways. If you've already paid for it for the year of 2022, mm-hmm. then you only want to request grant coverage for a time period that has not been paid for. See what I'm saying? The grant does not propose to go back and pick up costs that's already been incurred. You know, that will open up a whole different thing that I don't think is, you know, we can't cover it $1 million because you're talking about pre-existing costs at that point. But let's say that beginning January 1, you'll have a new prescription that you have to pay for 2023. Then for 2023, you're going to propose, or for your application, you're going to propose to cover, you know, 6 months of that cost from the grant because the grant will be available for that period. You get what I'm saying? You do want to be that thoughtful about it. Don't propose costs that you've already paid for.
No, I mean, if I pay in January for 2023,
right,
then and the grant ends June 30th, can I request for the entire year's worth of subscription because I'm paying for it all at once? Normally, I would pay for it all at once. Or can I only apply for 6 months worth of the subscription. Like from January to June, or can I pay for the whole amount with the grant money?
And this is to, what is this that you're talking about, the subscription?
Well, it's a subscription to our parenting classes. They're online classes. And so they are things that we can send to the client to watch on their own phone or on their own time, or they can watch it in our center. So I'm pretty sure that they will be something that's covered in the grant. What I'm asking is, like, I'm just going to make up a number. If it costs $1,000 for the year, and I usually pay that bill in January, and it goes till the next January, so it's going past the grant period, but I'm paying for it in January.
Right.
Can I pay for it in January with the grant money, the entire year's worth of subscription?
You want to charge your grant for the cost that would occur during the grant.
Okay.
You can do 6 months. You can request 6 months of the subscription cost.
Yeah. Okay.
So would advertising, when you say it can be used for advertising, can that be like we have monthly recurring expenses for someone managing our Google ads so that when women in crisis pregnancy situations are Googling abortion, they end up calling us? Is that something, is that a monthly expense we could submit under this grant?
That is advertising expense that you could propose in your grant application.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so if we're ready, let's go ahead and walk through the form. I'm going to do a stop share right quick and then pull up the actual form. Have you all had a chance to go and look at the application form yet?
Where do you get the application form?
On our website. So the application is posted. It was posted on August 1st. Let me get up here and share it. 1 second.
Yeah, I couldn't find it anywhere. I thought maybe it had to wait till after this meeting.
Yeah, I couldn't find it either.
It's actually posted online, and we sent out email link in it, and I didn't hear back, so I was assuming that everybody was able to get the link. Let me go ahead and share it, and we'll send a link out again after this meeting. We'll make sure everybody gets the link again. So you able to see my screen with the application request for applications?
No,
I can't see it.
No.
What about now?
Now we see it.
Yes, we can.
So again, a simplified approach to the application. It's going to pretty much replace everything that we just went over. Essentially, so I'm not going to read through it, but it is online on BFA Intergovernmental Services website under the Pregnancy and Resource Center Grant Program. We'll send out this link again to you all and to everyone who we sent it to before. Did you all get an email about this? I'm just trying to make sure that my emails are going through. Did you all get emails about the Zoom meeting?
I did get an email about the Zoom meeting. I did not get an email about the application, but I did find it on the website on August 1st or a couple of days after August 1st when it was put on the website.
This is Cindy Crawford. I received it and I was able to get into it. Okay. You just have to follow Pregnancy Resource. Everywhere it says Pregnancy Resource, you follow that and continue to click and it'll take you right to the application.
There it is.
It's a little bit confusing if you're not used to using a state website.
I could navigate it. I just didn't receive an email with the link. Just for information's sake, we also have links to all of the applications and forms on the DFA on the Our Future Foundation website as well. So if you go to our grants page, I've got all that information and links there as well. They'll take you to it. And a kind of an explanation as well.
Thank you. That's very helpful. I'm glad you shared that.
You're welcome. So,
and we too will send it out again from here, and hopefully everybody gets it. I don't know if people are not getting it unless I get an email to kick back, but other than that, I'm thinking that everybody got it, but we'll send it out again to the contacts that we have for you all and for everyone else who's not able to attend today.
Okay, thank you.
So the application deadline is August 26th. We're going to adhere to that strictly. And the close time is 4:30 p.m. And that is within this application form itself. The release date, it was released on August 1st. Again, we have $1 million available in funding. In this section, this is where we request that you seek no more than $40,000 in support. This truly is to give an opportunity for more people to participate. We don't know yet how many people are going to apply or participate, but we do want to have at least a mindset about us that leaves enough room for a pretty equitable distribution of funds. And so to that end, we're asking that you limit your applications to no more than $40,000 of requests. Project period again, October 1 to June 30th. Funding beyond June 30th is not anticipated. Here in DFA, we most certainly have not received any indication that funding will be continued or restarted beyond June 30th. So applicants should propose only those calls for activities that will be completed by the end of the project period, unless those activities will be sustained from other financial sources beyond June 30th. So let's say staff come to mind firsthand in this section for me. Let's say you hire a staff person. If you literally hire a brand new person to conduct classes or instruction of some sort to pregnant females. Now, with the understanding that the grant program is going to end June 30th, if you hire a person and you want them to continue beyond the grant, then you most certainly won't have your own funds or another source of funds available to support that staff person beyond June 30th. That's essentially what that means. When you bring in new calls that your organization is taking on, you know, new expenses, have the understanding that beyond June 30th, you have to sustain those expenses through other means. Okay. Eligible organizations, we went over that in our discussion earlier, so I think we covered that, but it is outlined here also. We go through just a broad discussion of allowable and non-allowable activities. Allowable activities, again, is just my recommendation, and I think we kind of hashed it out pretty clearly here. The best application would be the ones where you can clearly define the cost that you are seeking to charge to the grant or be, you know, supported through the grant, as well as the type of cost that you can easily substantiate. Even if a cost is allowable, you don't want to put your organization in a situation to where something has to be looked at differently or closer than normal because you're going to have a difficult time verifying or substantiating or validating that cost. So be very thoughtful about how you present cost elements in your budget so that you don't have, akin to what Representative Crawford was saying, so that you don't have a problem later on. You don't want to cause your organization to strain trying to substantiate costs that, you know, we can't define or we can't look at your documentation and say clearly that is a cost that was supported in our spending plan and in the grant. So just be mindful of that. But these just list out some general things. Of course, direct support to females as your counseling, as your assistance, material and supplies, advertising, brochures, the rent of facilities where services are provided, utilities where services are provided, client-focused professional services and staff for the duration of the project. So those are easily things that are easily definable to the project. Not allowable activities include community awareness events that are, you know, more general than advertising for your specific services. Food and beverage is just hard to track, so we don't include that in any grant, federal or state, not that I've ever been involved in. And salaries for employees beyond a project. Again, you want to make sure that you understand that the grant only covers things for the period of the grant. Submission, please make sure all items are included with the application. This is where you could run into a problem. And I want to just make this clear, and we'll, you know, really encourage people that you talk to a representative proper, you know, if she's on the line still, I just really want to encourage people to send in complete applications. The timing on this thing is so tight. There is no way we'll be able to go back to anyone and say, hey, you missed this or you didn't include that. And, you know, okay, the application has to be complete as submitted. So incomplete applications will be removed from consideration. There's just not enough, you know, flexibility or even fairness to where we have to come back to an applicant and say, hey, can you submit a couple more things so that when we can do this for a fair process. Submit an electronic copy of the full application as one file. That includes all of the information, organization information, grant plan, which will include narratives, descriptions, and a budget, and in a signed assurances and certification form. If you're going to send it electronically to this email here, we have a specific email address that we receive in these applications through. So applications must be submitted by 4:30 p.m. closing time on August 26th to be considered for funding. You can submit early. I encourage you to do so. Please do so. The late applications will not be considered for funding. Evaluation and award. Applications will be reviewed and evaluated for eligibility. Well, the organization's eligible or not. That's the first criteria, the reasonability of the proposed cost relative to the proposed service area. And that just has to do with what you're seeking to fund. Again, you don't want to structure your application that if what you're asking for is too complex to really see how it's going to serve pregnant females. And also you want to propose a reasonable service area, like who are you serving? How many people you intend to impact? You may not have an exact number, but you can have an idea based on your years of service of what you are likely to see in your service area. And the proposed measurement of anticipated outcomes. I touched on this briefly, and this is center point to the discussion of whatever you do with your funding. You, at the end of your grant, you want to be able to define a measurement of what were the outcomes. You know, you want to be able to say we serve X number of females, we provided X, Y, Z. So you want to be able to substantiate what your program actually did. Applications not meeting the eligibility required for funding will be removed from further consideration. The award process will occur the week of September 26th through the 30th. Which again, like I said, we have a pretty tight timeline from the time that we receive applications to when we actually get awards in your hands. And so the project start date will begin the next month, which is October 1. The award document must be signed by a duly authorized official of your center, of your organization, and it must be returned to DFA by October 10th. And we have payment dates already established. So all of these timelines are pretty crucial. So let's say we receive an application by October 10th because we're issuing payments as it advances. We run a procedure where we run all the payments at one time. So all of those payments are going to hit at the same time. Therefore, we need all signed documents accepting the award by October 10th. Earlier if necessary, but earlier if possible, but definitely by October 10th. So all signed documents must be received by DFA IGS before funds be disbursed to the recipient entity. Funds disbursement, this is where we list the dates that we will be issuing payment following the receipt of the award document signed by a duly authorized official. DFA will disburse award funds to approved applicants in 3 increments based on this schedule. So you can see from October 10th to October 17th is not a lot of time. We have to upload all of the information into our system to start disbursing the awards based on the applicant's approved budget. The next payment comes in January, the final payment in April. And funds, again, along the lines of what Representative Crawford brought up, funds may only be spent for approved budget line items. Okay. Expense reports. Expense reports are akin to the supporting documentation that you must provide. So along with the expense reports, which will be a form that we will provide to you to document your expenses and then provide that form back to us along with your invoices, receipts, whatever documentation that you can provide that substantiates what monies were paid out from those advancements that you received, the monies that were actually paid out, you must provide documents, invoices, receipts, whatever that is, to substantiate those costs. So any funds not spent by the report due date can still be used in your next cycle, but all of the funds must be used by June 30th. And then any funds not spent, I mean spent, not, I mean actually spent, and keyed in on the word spent, I don't mean funds that you have, you know, plan to spend or that you expect to spend. If those funds are not out of your hands and spent by June 30th, they must be returned to BFA because our spending authority ends June 30th. And so, and those funds will have to go back into the pot. So the expenditure reports are dated, are required to be submitted by January 9th, April 9th, and July the 9th. And you see the periods that they cover. So for instance, the expenditure report that's due January 9th, which will show the expenditures from October 1 through December 31st. So all throughout, during and throughout the phase of when you are spending money, go ahead and start accumulating those receipts so that when you get ready to do that report, it is very easily done. Please don't, you know, wait until the reports are due and then try to gather your receipts. That's probably not the best approach. So you want to have all your supporting documentation in place so that you can substantiate what was spent from your money. Again, unauthorized use of funds. We specifically review the expense reports and its supporting documentation to validate the recipient's use of funds. Any funds not spent in accordance with the approved budget must be refunded to BFA within 30 days of notification. And we will notify an organization if monies were spent outside of their approved budget. So I just want to make everyone aware of that. Again, application deadlines, make sure you don't miss it, is August 26th by 4:30. And that is the email address, again, to submit applications to electronically. Our contact information is DSAIDS by email. You can send it to that same email address because we're centralizing all of the communications coming through for this grant program, IGS applications at dfa.arkansas.gov, or you can call the IGS project manager for this program at 501-682-274. Email is best, guys. I just want to make that clear. Email is best because that way we can get a response, we get a written response, and we put it into a FAQ document so that everybody has the same information. So if at all possible, if you have a question, go ahead and send us an email. Okay, the application forms is what begins here. You have a checklist. You have a section that requires your organization information. You have your grant plan, which is essentially your budget that includes encompasses items 4 through 8 in the form. You have your narrative describing your current activities. And that's just to give us an understanding of what you do. A narrative describing the range of services that you propose to provide using the grant plan. So that's where you get into what you need the grant for. But definitely when you talk about what you propose to use the grant funds for, only limit that discussion to what is going to be charged to the grant. So to be clear, you only want to request those costs in your budget that are going to be under the grant, not costs for everything that your organization does that is outside of the grant itself. You can describe what your activities are that you do as an organization in item 4. Number 6, description of experiences the entity has in providing the proposed services. That's similar to number 4, but just you know, talk about the experience. You may want to talk about your staff, you know, the level of experience they have. You have, you know, counselors on staff or whatever that staff makeup looks like. You want to talk about your proposed service area. Who do you intend to serve? What area you'll be serving in, city, state, you know, zip code, town, what your expected client may, you know, client numbers may look like, just anything in a proposed service area that you can bring into your application in a way that we can kind of glean comparatively what your proposed service area is. Description of the entity's management and key staff, include information on their experience working with individuals facing unwanted pregnancies. So again, we're going to recap upper level management and your key people who are going to be involved in this program. What's their experience in working with pregnant females? Then your proposed monthly budget with line items specifically detailing the proposed expenditures. You do your budget monthly, like, you know, what your monthly budget is that you propose. Because keep in mind, we're going to be doing disbursement on a 3-month increment. Somewhere in there. So the monthly budget is helpful. And then that monthly cost will culminate into the total amount of your grant award. So do keep the proposed line item in a monthly increment. Then you will be required to, an authorized official of your organization will be required to sign the assurances and certification form. Okay, budgets, applicant must submit program and budget proposals reflecting activities specifically for the period of October 1 through June 30th. Required attachments should be received in an order requested per the checklist, so keep everything in that order. All applicant information and attachments requested in this request for application or for the period of October 1 through June 30th. So like I said earlier, don't propose costs outside of that timeline. And we do look forward to receiving your application. So I'm just going to scroll on through and show you what those funds look like. Again, we go into, we talk a little bit more about the funding requirements. But this one is key also, that once you receive your advanced fund, like once an organization approves the funding, they sign the sub-award, and we issued the first advancement of funds, I think it was like the 17th, you want to start making expenditures within 15 days of receiving that advance. In other words, organization, you don't want to be sitting on money and holding it for 30 days. It's not reasonable. We want to see organizations utilizing their money that they receive. So you want to start making your expenditures within 15 days of receiving it. And of course, all funds must be spent by June 30th. Activities will be monitored quarterly based on that financial reporting that we just discussed. In a failure to submit requested or mandatory documentation, including the quarterly report, may result in withholding of future funds until the center is in compliance. So you don't want to be in a situation where you're not submitting your reports timely or your documents timely. The quarterly reporting, each center, each organization is required to submit the quarterly financial reports. The reports are due, and it's just a restatement of earlier, January 9th, April 9th, July 9th. And future funding for the year may be withheld until all financial reports are received and approved. PRC is responsible for providing accurate data for each reporting period. Budget modifications are simply not allowed. It's just a 9-month project. It's the timeline, the money is just, again, we encourage you to carefully consider your budget needs and finalize those requests prior to submitting the application. So be very mindful of what you're requesting, because whatever you're awarded, you will be expected to adhere to that. Grant extensions are not available. The project period expires June 30th. And unused funds must be returned. There's no expenses. And then we get into the form itself. These are PDF fillable, so you can actually use this form, fill it in on the form, and when you're done, you'll print it out, make sure everything is signed, and scan your completed document in and send it to us. And so you're able to, again, complete your form using a PDF format. And and just provide it to us once it's signed and through scan and email. This, let me see if there's anything different in this. Pretty straightforward. I don't see anything in here that should cause any confusion, but I'll give you guys a few minutes. If you have questions, you can go ahead and start launching those questions, and I'll just keep scrolling through this. If you see something you want me to stop on and talk about, then let me know. But essentially, this is the form of everything that we have discussed to this point. This is the form where you actually put it into your words, make it your application, and submit it to DSA on or before the due date. Any questions?
When it says in there that you have to submit quarterly reports and financial reports, are those two different things or the same thing?
That's the same. You will have a form for the quarter. Financial reports are quarterly. And so you will have a form for that. And then at the end of the grant project, we do ask for the report on what the program accomplished and performed. Let me see. Let me scroll down to the very bottom and then I'll go back up. Somewhere in here, you're going to tell us within this how you plan to evaluate. Here it is on project evaluation. You're going to tell us in your application how you plan as an organization to evaluate or measure your own outcome. And so once you have evaluated that over the whole project, at the end of the project, then we'll request your own project evaluation. But other than that, the only reporting that you'll be doing is your quarterly financial reporting for the purpose of the grant. Now, if there's some issue that we have to resolve, we can request information on that. But as a formal, typical report, it'll be quarterly financial report.
Okay. And on this form earlier, when it talked about the different categories that were approved or acceptable to use grant funds for, it referred to rent and utilities. If you have a mortgage on your facility that you have a monthly mortgage payment for, is that considered to be eligible because it's basically a substitute for rent?
Not as a mortgage, and that's true even for all types of programming, because on a mortgage, you're the owner of the part of the facility. And so it's essentially buying your facility. The rent is where you are paying to use it. You see what I'm saying? You're paying to utilize it. And it's not meant to be punitive to our organization, but truthfully, if you're talking about serving people, you're servicing them by incurring a cost of renting that facility. If you have a mortgage on an organization or on a facility, that's gonna be a mortgage whether you're serving pregnant females or some other entirely different group. And so for the purpose of programmatic performance and grant programming, grants tend to fund those costs that are more related to the usage of a facility such as rent.
Okay, for the purposes of serving clients in crisis pregnancy situations, how are those two different?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Well, I mean, basically, paying your mortgage is keeping the doors open so you can serve clients in crisis pregnancy situations. So how are those two things different?
They are. It's a little hard to describe, but essentially on a mortgage, this is how mortgages usually come into play when you're talking about grant program. Let's say you have a match requirement and you have a mortgage that you're using for a grant program. And then what you pay on a mortgage could be used for the depreciation of a building because it's an asset at that point. If you rent it, it's not your asset. It's just rent. You're paying for the use of it. And so, in the essence, where you have a mortgage, then you'll be able to utilize a usage type element, which is more depreciation toward the match requirement, like a non-cash match. But rent is a usage type appropriation. So what you're essentially asking the grant program to do is, let's share the cost, or let's cover the cost to use these facilities to serve pregnant females. And a mortgage just don't really fit within that caveat. It's the difference between paying for, if we lease a vehicle, if you lease a vehicle for your organization, not that it will be allowable here, but let's say you got a grant and you lease a vehicle for, and then you pay for a lease cost. Well, the grant would likely pay for lease cost, but it may not pay for you to purchase a vehicle. It's just a different construct. And in a granting process, we normally pay like the rent cost, but never mortgage. So mortgage, because that's your own property, that's your ownership of your property. And so it's just a different construct. It's a little harder to explain unless you understand how granting procedures work. Rent usage of a facility is a little different than owning a facility that you then, you know, could use for this purpose, but you could also use for different other types of purposes.
Okay, so basically you're punished if you have a facility that the owner wouldn't lease to you, but insisted if you were going to use it, you had to take over the mortgage. So, yeah, okay, let's move on. It makes no sense, but I know that's the rule. So thank you.
Any other questions? So I'm going to scroll down to the end. I want to make sure I show you guys the assurances and certification form. It is important to the bottom here. Okay, the assurances and certification. And most of the assurances, you know, are the standard assurances that you would see in any type of grant program, that you as an applicant agency agree to certain things, that you're maintaining records and document the nature and the outcome of your activities, including records for the appropriate accounting of funds that were received and disbursed. So you have to, again, that substantiation of your cost. You'll make it available to DFA and an authorized official of the Arkansas legislature. And the records and activities funded under this project, that you will make timely financial reports as required, that you will protect, there's the confidentiality and prevent inappropriate disclosure of information related to clients, that you will not discriminate, that is a part of also, that you shall initiate approved activities within 15 days of your award, of receiving the money, it's actually, so of your award, and the where allowable, if applying for program funding, which includes expenses for activities conducted previously, which would have been eligible for funding by this source, you'll provide the documentation requested to verify those activities. That's related to what we discussed earlier in the nature of a subscription. Like, you're going to have costs that you probably already had at first, but you may. Those costs, if they're going to be proposed to cover under the grant program, you're going to have to provide the documentation to show the part that is paid during the grant period, you know, that is not covering something that was already paid before or after the grant period. So you want to make sure that you can verify that. A willingness to just collaborate with each other and say why. Final report of any measurements and outcomes will ask for that for the email, or after the end of the grant, we'll let you know ahead of time for the end of the grant. But in addition to that, the key element also, additional element that we included in this certification is the area in bold below, right above the signature line, where it says by signing below, I certify that my center organization does not perform, prescribe, or provide referrals for, or encourage abortion, or affiliate with an organization that performs, prescribe, provide referral for, or encourage abortion. So the signature of your authorized official and the date and that information has to be included. You know, they will have to sign off on it, assurances and certification in order to validate your application. Just want to make sure that we cover that and ensure your understanding of that requirement. Floor is open for questions if you all have questions.
I do have an additional question, excuse me. Going back to where it said, basically where you have a subscription to Janet's question, let's say you have a subscription for a year of courses. The grant window opens, when is it? June, or it runs through June, but it starts this year. So what you're saying is that even though they may have paid for a subscription for the year for 2022, in their grant application, they can ask for the portion that runs in the grant program for 2022, and then ask for the portion that runs in the grant program in 2023. It just has to run during the grant program window, time window. Is that correct?
Close, very close.
Okay.
And let me restate that in a way that is purpose under the grant. You don't want to propose pre-award costs. Pre-award costs is costs you've already paid for.
Okay.
If you've already paid for your costs, now don't get me wrong, let me say this different. This is where the state funding is a little different. I mean, we're, you know, most certainly trying to give you the best benefit here. The pre-award cost is like, if I've already paid for my subscription, and technically, she said that she paid for hers through 2022, through the end of this year. And so if she's already paid that, then that cost has already been paid for. That's pre-award. So whether she got this reward or not, her cost already paid, you know. So when she comes in and she proposed for a application for funding, then her approach would be, I plan to subscribe again in January.
Okay.
And the award only covers 6 months out of 2023. So instead of me paying the whole cost of 6 months out of my pocket, I'm going to ask for 6 months worth of subscription costs from the grant. That is totally allowable. But it works out the same because it releases her budget for that 6 month period. That is
right.
So you're still getting the same effect. But what you don't want to do is propose for things that you've already paid for. If the grant doesn't really touch that, it's already happened. So hopefully I made that clear.
Yes.
Any other questions? Very good discussion. And of course, if y'all think about the questions, most certainly send them in to us by email. I like email because we can, you know, type out the answer, put it out there on an FAQ document, as well as responding to the person who asked the question. And everybody has the same information. And the application really is quite simple, even, you know, as going through it. And I can tell toward the end of this discussion that there's not quite as many questions that as I would have anticipated. I think mostly because we got them all. A lot of them answered during the first part of the presentation. But it just helped me to know that from you all, this is an application that you shouldn't be find too confounding. Like, you know, some applications can get pretty intensive and pretty complex. You know, we've done them all. Particularly for this program, we want to keep it as simple as possible. And doing so assists you with making an application within a reasonable amount of time. This is the 17th. It's due by next Friday. But it's entirely doable just based on you know, the discussions that we've had. If you haven't started it yet, it doesn't seem like you would have any problem completing it just based on your discussions. But definitely want to give you some information just on how to approach your application. Just don't be overwhelmed by it. Don't feel, you know, nervous about your organization. This isn't about your whole organization. It's about what your organization can do to affect pregnant women and how can this grant program help you to do just that. So with that, I'll just open it up in the final questions before we close out.
Well, I don't have a question, but I just wanted to say thank you, Ms. Smith, for taking the time to conduct this this workshop. It's extremely helpful. I've written grants, and it's just figure it out and turning a grant by the time it's due. So I'm definitely appreciative of the time that you've taken to explain it and walk us through this process. I know that there's nothing like this that's been done before with Department of Finance and Administration. So definitely appreciative of all of the help and guidance that you all are providing.
Thank you so much. You're absolutely welcome, too. Okay, well, you all know where to find us if you have any question at all. And even during the grant itself, if you apply for it and receive an award, one of the key elements that we express to everyone that we grant to is always ask questions. If you have a question on something, rather than try to guess it and, you know, have a problem or have an issue that you have to deal with, just ask. If you have a question about anything within the grant cycle that may or may not be allowed, or whether you feel like something is that you don't quite understand, you can always reach back out to us. We're not going to ever not provide you a response, and we're going to make sure that you have what you need as you go through your grant program, not just the application process. So with that, thank you, each of you, for attending. Please encourage anyone that you know of who may be interested in applying, number one, to apply, but to also go on our website, which we'll send out this link to, and review this workshop, as well as contact us if they have any questions. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Bye.